Okay, Rabosai, let's just see what we have in front of us. The most important thing that you should have in front of you is, of course, a Gemara Shas. And we're looking on Daf Chaf Aleph Amid Beis. And we have two sugyas here.
It's your last one.
Okay.
You better bring more.
Okay. I think I have more in a different drawer, but this is great. Tiskel and Mitzvahs, as we say. Okay. So the Gemara, if you recall, raised an objection. How can you possibly say that Kovsa ain't Zokik Lo when the Brisa says that the mitzvah is that should start with Shkia and go all the way to Lachetikla Regel Benashuk? And the Gemara gives two answers. The first answer was De'ilo Adlik Madlik. So that's a time period within which he can light. But if it goes out, he doesn't have to rekindle the light. That's called Kofsa Ein Zokik. That's number one. The Shulchan Aruch, we saw paskins like that man, the over the Kofsa Ein Zokik, and he opens up his comment by saying Hadlaka Osa Mitzvah, the Mitzvah is Hadlaka, and therefore Kofsa Ein Zokik. Then we had a second pshat. The Gemara offers an interpretation that from Shkia till Ashetichel Egem Shuk is only l'shi'ura to establish the minimum volume of oil that has to be in the Nair. But in Echinami, once you have that minimum volume, then if the Nair is extinguished, you yotze the mitzvah. So the Gemara basically does a very good job in defending the opinion of Kofsa Ein Zokik Lo from the slings and arrows of this price. Now here's my question for you today. Kofsa Zokik Lo we can identify as Ner Dolok. The Ner has to be lit over that period of time. Kofsa Ein Zokik Lo we can identify as the Maisa Hadlok. We paskin, kofsa ein zok. But here's my question, because sometimes life is a little bit more complicated than it seems on the surface. And that, if that's true for life in general, it's also true in the world of learning. So kofsa ein zok sounds like just a maisad loka, geendik, finito, you lit the candle, go home, go to work, wherever you have to go to. Don't worry about it. Whatever happens, happens.
During that zman.
During that zman. In other words, immediately after the hadlok. However, if we look at this sugya from what I call a more universal perspective within Shas, life becomes complicated because it's very possible that from a Shas perspective, a maisa hadlok without a ner dolok is not a maisa hadlok at all. What do I mean to say? Often in Shas, you start a process and you do the action. The bulk and the remainder of that process happens me'elof, automatically. If I could give a marshal, it's like automation, it's like machines. You know, you just press the button and then the machine does what it has to do. And yet, the halacha will address the following question. To what extent is your action connected to and dependent upon the final outcome? Mashal lema davardom. We have a principle called Isho Mishum Chitzov. This is Rabbi Yochanan in Masechet Bava Kamma. What does it mean? I light a fire in this place, location X, we'll call it, and the wind carries the fire to location Y. And I'm chayav for this. According to Rabbi Yochanan, Isho Mishum Chitzov means it's as if he shot an arrow, and therefore he's chayav midin Adam Hamazik. The case of Eish, which is one of the four of us, the Zikin, according to Rabbi Yochanan, has to be understood. And the Gemara comes up with a whole situation where you're chayv mishum eish simply because you created the fire. But now I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about isha mishum chitz. Perhaps the most famous question asked by any Rishon in all of history is the question of the Ramukei Yosef on this principle of isha mishum chitzav. If you're chayv for lighting the fire as if you burnt up whatever was burnt up, for example, the Mishnah says in Bava Kama, in Perek HaKone, so he lights a fire here, and the fire burns up a gadish. A gadish is like a haystack, and he's chayv for damage, so he has to pay compensation. Isha mishum chitzav means that I am considered to be the Bala Maisa. It was my action that burnt up the haystack, and therefore I'm chayiv mishum adam amas. That's Rav Yochanan. Fact in the Ramukei Yosef. If that's the case, thank you so much. Then how is it possible to be makayim the mitzvah of adlakas ner shachas? Famous question of the Ramukei Yosef. The Ramukei Yosef says every time I light a fire, and that's what I'm obligated to do on Erev Shabbos, the fire is going to burn into Shabbos. That burning is considered my action. That's the entire essence that underlies this principle of Isha Mishum Chitza. So if I'm considered as if I birthed it, then I should be Chayav Mishum Melechas Avora. That's pretty paradoxical, that every time you light a Shabbos candle on Erev Shabbos, you're going to be Chayav on Shabbos for Melechas Avora. And there are many, many different answers to this question. But the answer that I think is most relevant to us is something that Rav Soloveitchik used to say about Meleches Bishul. So in other words, Berzon here is making an analogy between Bishul and Havara and Mavir. Let me explain. In Bishul, what I do is I put the pot with food in it onto the fire. That's all I did. The food is raw. It will cook as a matter of a process over the course of time. And I'm chayv mishum meleches bishul. So Rav Soloveitchik explained it the following way. That although the machayev for which I'm going to get chas v'sholom skila, if I did it b'mezu basra, is the hanochas hatavshil al gabi ha'esh, but nevertheless, the continuous process of Bishul is related to my asiyah, my hanocha. He has a similar case in what's called Mechametzes HaMincha. One of the lavim in the Torah is not to cause a mincha to become fermented. And the Tosefta has a case where he puts the mincha, the raw mincha, over a fire, and then it burns, and he's chayev mishum machametz etzaisa, even though he didn't do the machametz, he didn't cause the fermentation, he just set it up in a process. So here what we have is a very fascinating structure where, on the one hand, my maisa machayev is placing or setting a process into motion. But on the other hand, my chiyuv is related to what happens afterwards. So this is called tziruf. Tziruf means we're going to link up the ultimate outcome that is set into motion by a certain maisa. The maisa itself in its time did not create in its time the outcome, but it set up a process by which the outcome is going to willy-nilly come about. And the entire process is related back and forth through this power of tziruf to the original maisa. If that be the case, for example, Gemara has in Bava Kama, a person who throws a kli from the top of a roof, and then he runs down, you know, I don't know exactly how he pulls this off, but he runs down all the flights of steps and he catches it, or he places a barrier in front of it. And in such a case, he's not chayev for meleches, for maisa mazik, for adam mazik, if somehow, you know, somehow it smashes at the end. Why? Because he arrests the process midway. And in order to be chayev for the original zrika, he's got to have a process that relates to his original zrika. And if at some point in the process he interferes with the process, it makes it impossible for that original maisa of setting something into motion to reach its fruition, then the maisa itself is considered kamandi eno dami. So again, if the process takes place, he's chayev for the maisa, But the condition is that that Maisa successfully reaches its fruition and creates the result. He's not chayav for the result, he's chayav for the Maisa. This is the way we answer the kasha of the Buki Yosef. The machayev of Mavir is going to be lighting the fire. If you lit the fire on Erev Shabbos, that can't be a Maisa Machayev, because there's no such thing as a Maisa Machayev on Erev Shabbos. Elowat. You'll ask me the question, if that's the Maisa Machayev, then who cares whether it actually burns afterwards? The answer is that it's called a Maisa Machayev, but only on the condition that that Maisa Machayev reaches its fruition. So it comes out like this. And everything I'm telling you is against the Avdei Nezer. Okay, the Sukkot Shavuot has a whole different approach. But it's not like the Sukkot Shavuot would say that your Maisa is Machayev you at the time of the effect of the burning itself, because then you're stuck with the Mukiosis question, because that effect and that burning is yours, so you can't light the fire in Erev Shabbos. No. Rav Salvechik would say that there's a difference between the Maisa Machayev and the Tnai and the Chiyuv. The Tnai and the Chiyuv, the absolute condition that has to be met, is that that Maisa, which set into motion a process, will reach its fruition. And if it reaches its fruition, then we could say that whole process was inherent in your Maisa. If it doesn't reach its fruition, then it's not inherent in your Maisa. You never have the actual outcome to be mitzarif to your Maisa. But if the outcome takes place, you're chayef for the Maisa itself, for the active element of setting this process, as I said, into motion. And therefore, what you do on Erev Shabbos can never ever be mechayef you for Shabbos. So in Bishol, the Hanocha Satav Shel Al Gabei Ha'esh is the mechayef. The Bishol itself is going to be a Tnai. And the Rav wants to answer up a famous kasha of the Rashash with this about Meleches Zorea. And the question is, what happens if he plants a seed and then he rips out the seed from the ground before it ever takes root? And Rav Salvechik wants to say that in such a case, even though the Machayev is putting the Zera into the ground, but if he successfully rips it out from the ground before it takes root, he's going to be potter for that. Even though, in the classical case of Zriya, when does Ashrosh, when does it become rooted?
3 days later.
3 days later, it takes Ashrosh, it takes 72 hours. And that's on Tuesday. So how could it be chayav for Meleches Zorea on Shabbos if you need the Zriya, the Zera, to be Niklat? Then when is going to the Klitas HaZera going to take place? 3 days down the line. The answer is that the Maisa Machayev is what? Is the Hanochas HaZera Bakarka. When is he going to be chayav? When the condition is fulfilled. If he prevents that condition from ever reaching its fruition, meaning if he rips out the Zera from the Karka, then he's not going to be chayav, because then I can't be mitzaref the ultimate ashrasha to his Maisa Zriya. But we don't care when that Tnai is fulfilled. That Tnai is already extraneous to the Maisa Machayev, and therefore it can take place even on Tuesday. So although the status of his Maisa Zriya, which took place on Shabbos when he put his head to the ground, is sort of in abeyance, what word should I say? It's in suspended animation. We really don't know if he's going to be chayav for that Zriya. But if at the end of the day the Tanai is fulfilled and Ashrosha takes place 3 days down the line, he's chayav for the Zriya, for the Maisa Zriya. So you have a Maisa which depends upon a fulfillment of a condition later on down the line. If that condition is fulfilled, then we relate the entire condition to the Maisa, and he's chayav for the Maisa. So when did he do the act of lighting the candle that the Muki Yosef is so upset about? On Friday, on Erev Shabbos. If it burns into Shabbos, the entire Havara could be related back into his Maisa of Havara, but his Maisa of Havara took place when? On Erev Shabbos, and therefore he's part. Why do I share this with you? Because I'm wondering about the sugya of Kavsa Ein Zokikla in Ner Chanukah. Pili Plon, are we saying Kavsa Ein Zokikla means that, as I said at the outset, he lights the Ner Chanukah and that's it? Meaning, he can go home, there's no concern, there's no interest, there's no involvement in the actual burning of the Ner Dolok. That would be a very extreme presentation of Kovsa Ein Zokikla. Or is it possible that Kovsa Ein Zokikla means that Ner Chanukah fits into a pattern similar to Havara and Bishul and Mechamed says Ha'isa with regard to Menachos and all those other cases where you set a process into motion, but whether or not your action is considered a Maisa Hadlaka will depend upon the outcome. And l'chora, if you hold kavsa zakuk lo, then everything depends upon the outcome. And if your outcome was very bad, and the totzot was shliliyot, because at the end of the day, it was extinguished, then your maisa hadlaka is not considered a valid maisa hadlaka. The tnai was not fulfilled; it never reached its fruition. What do I do with the man diomer who says kavsa ain zakuk lo? Does that mean that, as I said in the extreme case, that your Maisa is a self, a completion, it's from A to Z, it's an entire Maisa Machayev? In this case, it's not a Machayev, but it's a mitzvah. So on the pages that I gave you, which Yechiel was so kind enough to photocopy, you'll see a page in the Otzer HaIyunim that says on it, Lamed. Can you find such a page? I probably do have another copy somewhere, but I'm not sure where I have that. Otzer HaYunim page Lamed. It should look like this. Just that I blew it up for my eyes. Okay. Make sure, Sam, that I get a copy of that because I left my sefer home. Yeah. But I'm saying I'll need it for the rest of the shiur.
I'm not stealing it.
All I need is one. Now, for those of you who have page Lam, and if you don't have page Lam, just listen, it'll be Torah Shabbal Peh. He quotes a Rashba. In the very first full paragraph on page one, the Ran in the name of the Rashba. What happens? The scenario is the following. The man lit Ner Chanukah, and now he's hovering over the Ner, so to speak, like a mother over the fledglings in her nest, and he wants to make sure that everything is going well. You know, he wants to be proud of his beautiful Ner Chanukah. However, inadvertently, as he's tampering with the wick or the oil, you know, sometimes sometimes you mean well, but you mess things up. You know, doctors have this problem also sometimes. But in any event, he's tipping the nair in such a way that the oil should come down to the wick, and lo and behold, he floods the wick, and it goes out. Now, if you would have asked me, before I read this Rashba, I would say, if you pardon the expression, who cares? What difference does it make? We're holding down Kovsa and Zakukla. So what difference does it make whether the wind blew out his candle and then he doesn't have to rekindle it, except in the Chayotim's case, you know, where he lit it in the place of a Ruach Mitzuya, maybe yes, maybe no. The Chayotim says, you know, light it without a bracha. And the case when the wind blew it out, if the wind blew it out, then it wasn't, you know, it wasn't a wind that was there or anticipated from the beginning, but in this case, he put out the nair, not deliberately, you know, I don't want to, you know, tar and feather him publicly, he didn't do it b'mezin, but he did it b'shogeg. Now, we're going to see that the Rashba take the lenient approach based on the fact that his intentions were good intentions, meaning that he's not deserving of any punishment.
Yes.
In other words, the Rashba is going to say, you know, we're going to be very compassionate and we're going to be very lenient about this, lay back and say, he doesn't have to rekindle the lamp in such a case. Why? What's the key word in the Rashba? Take a look inside if you have the text. Starts with the shin and ends with a gimel.
He's
a shogi. Unbelievable. The Rashba stands, he presents his whole case on shogi. What does that imply to you, Rabosai? If he would have been mazed, then he would have kovsa zokov. Now watch this. The Rashba is going according to the Mighty Omer holds kovsa ain't zokov klo. And now the Rashba is setting up the limits. When do we say that kovsa ain't zokov klo? That's when elements outside of the human intervention bring about the kovsa. But if the human intervention, the human action brings about the kovsa, then says the Rashba, it's a whole new ball game. Now we have to ask the following question: was he a shogeg or was he a mason? And Anochi HaKatan, I was nispal from this Rashba. I thought the Rashba is barking up the wrong tree over here. Forget about shogeg and mason. Ask yourself the following question: is it kovsa zokikla or kovsa ain't zokikla? If it's kovsa zokikla, that means that you have to create an air dull. And I couldn't care less whether or not you were exonerated from any punishment, but onus kevad be'ovid lo amrinon, you know, you did not create a ner dolok. I would go back to my paradigm of isho mishum chitzo, but I would say, look, you actually light the fire. There's a potential to achieve the machayev here, or in the case of Hanukkah, to achieve the kiyum of ner Hanukkah, but it's all conditional. That's ner kovsa zokiklo. We've got to see if your maisa will reach, you know, will pan out, if you could, and reach its fruition, because it will be lit, and you'll have the ner dolok. If it didn't, look, I have, you know, my heart goes out for you, I don't think you're guilty, I'm not going to flagellate you, but nevertheless you have to light the candle again, because your maisa was not really a maisa adloka, because the maisa adloka is to set up a process of isho mishum chitzo, which will culminate in an ner dolok, and unfortunately that didn't occur. But if I'm going with the Mandi Omer who says kovsa ein zokiklo, and ein zokiklo means all you have to do is a maisad loka. Who cares about what happens later? I couldn't care less whether he intervenes actively, whether he does it deliberately, whether he blows out the candle, for my part. You know, like a happy birthday kind of, take your wish, right? Because even in such a case, he had his kiyum, he achieved his kiyum of a maisad loka, and in this case there's no t'nai that the lighting should reach a fruition of ner dolok. And that's not the approach of the Rashba. The Rashba wants to suggest that if there's human intervention in kovsa, then even if I hold kovsa ein zokikla, it's going to be kovsa zokikla.
In the pages you gave, Sfas Emes holds, doesn't want to know in the Rashba. He holds the Rashba, holds even the Mason.
Right, it's going to come up here on these pages too. Also, but I'll tell you what it is. There's a lot of overlap, which I was a little disappointed in, between the Otzer Yunim and the Yalkut Abiyur.
Right.
I was a little bit disappointed because there are two different major sections in the Masifta, besides the Daf itself. One is called the Yalkut HaBiurim, and the other is called the Otzer HaIyunim. And I actually thought that they were two separate, you know, compositions, and Lo Roi Zeh K'Roi Zeh, that this was one group of scholars, and this was another group of scholars. I was very excited about getting both of them, but what I came to realize last night is that whoever puts together the Otzer HaYunim is well aware of what's in the Alkut HaBiurim and basically presents it in a different sort of shakel v'tariyah, different sequence, but it's almost identical. So that was a little bit of a disappointment for me. I wanted to ask for my money back. But in any event, so comes along the Rashba and he says, hold on a second, even if Kovsa ain't Zokik law, nevertheless I have to see that his, to some extent, again we'll backtrack a little bit, that his maisad loka has to reach a fruition. There's got to be a t'nai of a ner dolok. But I say to some extent, and here's where the Rashba says the following. Three scenarios. Scenario number one, the wind blew it out. If the wind blew it out, kovsa ein zokik lo, even though it never reached fruition of a ner dolok. Scenario number two, he blew it out, but inadvertently, b'shogeg, he was trying to be metaken, and kol hamosif kored. He was mekalkel instead of being mitake. Ain't zokikla. However, again, the Rashba doesn't spell this out, but it's strongly implied by the Rashba. If he would deliberately put it out, then kovsa zokikla, even according to the opinion of ain't zokikla. Let me read it to you inside to convince you that at least what I tell you is the Rashba. It's not my creation. Amen.
Ooh, that is strong.
Take the tea bag out.
Yeah, I don't know where to put it.
I'm that's my take problem. It out for you.
See. If you're already doing the mitzvah, can I ask you to even go beyond that, Phil? Only because we're good buddies?
You want me to dive
what in? I want you to do is pour out half of it, together with the tea bag in a cheap cup. You know, you don't have to expect, you know, I don't want to, this is a lot more expensive than cheap cups. And then fill up this cup to the top with hot water. I'll gain two things.
So you're going to have diluted tea.
Diluted tea and hot tea. Okay. I'll get both advantages. The only thing I'll be missing is a substitute sugar, which I have in my top drawer.
So spilling out half of this.
What do you say?
Half of this is going into the...
into a cup? You'll bring the cup back to me, so I'll have another... I usually get from every tea bag, I get an average of 4 to 5 cups of tea.
There's sucralose in the kitchen. Do you want sucralose in the kitchen?
My wife thinks I'm very stingy. Which is probably true too, but that's not this case. It's not because of my stinginess. It's just that, why should I throw out a good tea bag? You know what I'm saying? When I can use it over and over again.
Sure.
By the way, if somebody could research this for me, or maybe the scientists here in our group would know, I am convinced, and again, it sounds counterintuitive, that chamomile tea makes you tired. Of course, I'm just looking for an excuse as to why I'm tired, but I drink tons of chamomile tea because of the 700 shekel I spent to go to Yehupitzfeld and sit with a Chinese doctor, who's Israeli, by the way, but Chinese medicine, for hours and hours, and he told me, I have to drink tea constantly, yom v'layil. I'm not going to tell you what happens in the middle of the night because of that, but we won't go into detail about that, but in a public arena, but I can tell you this, I seem to be fighting tiredness, and I'm wondering if there's anything in the chemistry of chamomile tea that causes tiredness. Well, it's just an excuse that I'm looking for. But if anybody...
No, there isn't.
Okay, so if anybody could look this up for me, say maybe you already know
just
this.
Looked it up for you.
Where? In the... In his brain. Wow, okay. He doesn't need Mr. Google. He's got Google in his brain. You know, your brain said it's all Googled up. Just kidding.
All right. Okay. We'll do that later.
Yeah, thanks.
So you found that when you have too much of the tea in the cup. It's called
Mosif Gorea. Right. Too much tea is Mosif Gorea. So look at the language of the Rashba.
By the way, that's not good with a non-herbal tea bag. You can get sick from reusing the tea bag.
Oh, really? Okay. That's important for everybody here. Not for me. It's not relevant to me.
You know, from the regular tea bags are not good for you.
Achrei shehidlik es haner ubal etakno v'kibahu b'shogeg Eino tzarech lachzar ulahat keva de kaimelon kovsa ein zochikla ubir a rashba shisoda din she kovsa ein zochikla hu mishum shamitzin is kayemis but baisad loka. It seems to me that there's almost like a glaring steerer between the reisha and the seifa. He says lachain in kiva b'shoge kiyem es hamitzin baisad loka. Why can't I apply the same logic to mezid? Unless you're going to say we're flagellating him, you know, to begin as Allah calls it a knas. I never heard of a knas in Hilchos Chanukah. You know, I'm going to beat you up, and and not only that, if I'm going to assume kavza in the case of mezid of a kibos of a mezid is chayv ladlika according to everybody, then I would probably insist on a bracha. Again, the bracha in the case of kavza zokkla is a little bit iffy. But it's a pretty solid assumption on the part of many, many poskim that kavsa zakakla means you have to make a bracha. Now, why would you make a bracha because of a mezid on a knas? I don't think we make brachas. That would be an interesting thing. The Gemara says that chalas tevel? Yeah, you are mafish chalas from tevel, then you don't make a bracha because birek mietz Hashem. So you make a bracha on someone who put out the candle b'mezid because he's chayav to light it again? So this is very perplexing to me. The Rashba says only if he's mechaber the shogeg, then he's eino zokkikla. But if he was mezid, he implies strongly that it would be zokkikla. In fact,
you know what's later? There is a suggested response.
I was hoping you didn't see that yet.
I'm not going to say it.
That's why, you know, those are my pedagogy.
Yeah, but what is the
Rav used to say that 90% of saying a shir is being a good actor.
That's
the rub said.
What does the mezid mean? It definitely means he put it out on purpose.
Yeah.
But he put it out on purpose thinking that was okay to do it and relight it?
Well, that's again Omer Mutter. You know, that we have to learn in Sugyat Makis whether Omer Mutter is a shogeg or an onus. In any event, the Marshal is quoted here in the second in the second paragraph, yeah, he's much later than the Rashba, but he's pretty early. The Mashal is almost 5 centuries ago. He says, "Rakim kav somi atzma in a zokikla, avolim kava biyadayim." And I'm going to add one word: afilu b'shogay zokikla. So at least the Mashal is consistent. The Mashal is saying that kavsa ein zokikla means because the elements. But if it was kavsa that put out the candle, but if it was kavsa because of human intervention, then we're going to say zokikla, which means that the maisa hadlaka has to reach its fruition. Again, we're not going to say that if the wind blows it out, but we're going to say when there's human intervention. Once human intervention somehow magically undermines the maisa hadlaka, then what's the difference between shogging and mazin? So again, the Marshal, I think, is I don't know if he's doing this consciously, but he's taking the Rashba to its logical conclusion. The Rashba limits it to the case of Shogay. And since there's human intervention, says the Marshal, even in the case of Shogay, we should say, no, I'm sorry, I skipped a sentence. But the Rashba is implying that if it would have been mazed, then Kovsa Zokikla. So the Marshal says, well, if you tell me because human intervention undermines your mitzvah of Maisad Lokka, then we should apply that even to the case of Shogay. The Prima Gadim goes back to the Rashba's position, and he says it all depends upon whether it was mazid or shogeg. The Shulchan Aruch writes, "Kain im atli akhershed lika bal etakna v'kibos of a shogeg eno zokikla." He codifies the Rashba word for word, and the implication is that it had it been done be mazid, then we would say kavsa zokikla. So basically, we're stuck with two questions here. Question number one is on the Marshal. Why does human intervention undermine the Maisad Laka? After all, he did a full-fledged Maisad Laka. And then we have a more fundamental, logically compelling question and objection to the Rashba, who's codified in the Shulchan Aruch, and the Prima Gadim spells it out clearly, that there's no difference between Mazin and Shogay. That the Rashba, if he's holding that human intervention is going to undermine the Maisad Laka, he should apply that not only to the case of Mazin, but also to the case of Shogay. That's what the Marshal actually does. So we have a problem here. Number one, understanding fundamentally what difference to make between Kavsa Yidei, what I call the elements, or Kavsa Yidei Maisa Ha'adam. That's question number one. And question number two is, if you're already going as far as to say that Kavsa Yidei Maisa Ha'adam is enough to undermine the Maisa Ha'adam, why does that only apply in the case of Mezud and not in the case of Shogeg as well? And here we get to the Chelkis Yoav. The Chelkis Yoav's name was Breish. He was a Rav in Switzerland, died not that long ago. And he writes that there's a sugya in this context here in Daf Chav Gimel, Chav Gimel of the days, that touches on this entire issue. Now, what's the sugya all about? It's absolutely unclear what the sugya is all about. And we don't know what the Gemara is talking about. The Gemara talks about the case where 10 people are lighting, each one respectively his own psila, from the same ner. And that ner has the status of an avuka. Now, an avuka, which is a kind of a torch, is not a ner. And that's nogea to Motzi Shabbos as well for the mitzvah of Amdol. So the Gemara says that no one is Yotze over here. Now, let's take it apart. If the Gemara is talking about Bezecher Zeh, that means Reuven lit one psila, and then Shimon lit the second psila, and so forth and so on. Then clearly, when Reuven lit his psila, there was no avuka. At that point, it was a perfectly valid Ner Chanukah. Why does the subsequent development of the other individuals who now light in the same nair, why does that undermine? We're holding now Kavsa Ein Zokikla. Why does it undermine the Kiyum of the first one? And this question bothers the Pinsker of Bezdin. His name is Horovitz. And he comes to the conclusion that no, the Gemara is not talking about that at all. You misunderstood the Gemara. Again, he's the Abbezdin in Pinsk about 90 years ago. It's like a contemporary of ours. And he says, you misunderstood the Gemara. The sugya is talking about a case where 10 people decided as a group to simultaneously light
10 wicks from one candle. So that means spontaneously, immediately with the first lighting, because there is no such thing as a first lighting, there's only one lighting, you created, or all of them created, and an avuka. So let's look at this inside. For just give me a minute, Alan, to get my marbles on straight. He says the following. Hidliku kama b'nei adam bikara. Right, this is what we call in Hilchos Mukzah and Ashishas, you remember the Gemara in Beitza, it's a large receptacle with lots of oil in it. Shekifu psilos, and they put various wicks inside this large receptacle. Einam yotzim yidei chavasim. Why? Because it has the din of a torch. The Gemara calls it a madura. Frek the chelkas yoav, and this is what's going to move the Pinsker Rav to come to a radical reinterpretation of the sugya. Lama harishon eni yotzi dechova. Why do you undermine the validity of the first hadlok of Reuven? He's assuming that these hadlokas took place one after the other. Harik shehidlik harishon adain lo hoisa kimedura. In other words, v'shas hadlokah, the first one was madlike hadlokah haru'uya. Umabakach, who cares if acherkach himshichu, meaning the other members of this group, himshichu lahadlikas kulam v'nasis kimedura harikovsa ein zokikla. Interesting. He says that when your nair, we talked to for Reuven, the first guy on the list, became subsequent to your adlaka a madura, it's like a case of kovsa. And if your old kovsa zokikla, it makes sense. Did I get that wrong?
He said zokikla, I think that hands up. Oh, that's reasonable. I'm sorry, I shouldn't interrupt.
No, I'm just saying the following. If I would hold kovsa zokikla, then everything fits into place. Why? Because when Reuven lights his candle, and later it became a madura, madura is not an erchanika, they're mutually exclusive, therefore it's like kovsa. And then I can justify why even Reuven, the first madlik, would have to rekindle his light. But here in this case, we're holding now halacha that kovsa ein zokikla. If kovsa ein zokikla, frek tchelkas yoav, how could it possibly be that the first one is not yotze? The Gemara says that einam yotzim yidei chovasam, that none of them are yotze. Even the first one is not yotze. Comes along the chelkas yoav, and he wants to derive the following conclusion. That if there's human intervention, and that what creates the kibui, then your original maisa is not called a maisa adlaka. It becomes like the case of isho mishum chitzov, where somebody grabs onto the chetz midway in air, it doesn't matter who does that, and unwinds the chetz. In such a case, there's no maisa machai. Or like the case of someone who puts food, raw food, into a kedera, leaves it on the eish, and then somebody else removes it before it gets to cook. If there's a human intervention to undermine it, then the maisa, which normally would have been a maisa machayev, never reached its fruition, and there was no kimatnai here too. This ner never became a full-fledged ner. In other words, the chelkas yoav is operating, but the pellet is, this is within the context of kovsa ein zokikla, within the premise that you need a kiyuma tanai in order to make your maisa adlaka into a maisa adlaka. So it comes out that the kiyuma tanai is going to be a ner doluk. You don't have a ner doluk, neither in the case where you or somebody else put out the ner, or when other people lit from the same kara, because they transformed your ner into a madura. And in such a case, we have a principle called kovsa zokikla, even though we hold kovsa ein zokikla. It comes out that whether or not you can undermine the original maisa, meaning if you can whittle down and negate the maisa adlaka because of the ikir matnai, it all depends upon what caused and what brought about the ikir matnai. If the ikir matnai was brought about through natural causes, then we're going to say that your maisa is a maisa adlaka, and therefore you yotze, and that's called kovsein zakkwa. But if it's through human intervention, that undermines your adlaka, and it undermines your ner doluk, then it undermines your maisa adlaka, because then your maisa adlaka never reached its fruition.
But the person who lit the first ner, he didn't light subsequent neros. So he wasn't mekabel anything.
Correct.
He wasn't beaten mekabel.
So this is a gemalde finish in the sugi, because if the Chelkas Yoav is learning, and that's the way we always learned the sugi before the Abesin of Pinsk, that it was Bazak Arzeh, then how could the Gemara possibly undermine the Kiyuma Mitzvah of the first Reuven when Kofsa ain't Zakaklos? So you're going to tell me because the other guys win? So it comes out unbelievable that according to the Chelkas Yoav, if I light a candle and you come along for whatever reason, I'm not going to blame you for it, but you come along, you blow it out,
and you know that I'm coming.
Oh, excellent. Okay, well, Sam has the key to success over here. I'm not ready for Sam. Wait, but I'm glad you didn't hear what you said. I'm very glad that you didn't hear what you said. Okay, close your ears, because Sam has a major element to the equation. So if you come along and blow out my candle, then even according to my Yom Kofsa and Zakikla, it becomes Kofsa Zakikla. So basically what happens in effect is that when Shimon and Levi and Yisachar and Zvulun come along and they light their various psilos, they are putting out the candle of Reuven, and therefore Reuven is not Yotze the Mitzvah and Kofsa Zakikla, even though the human intervention had nothing to do with Reuven at all. Comes along Sam, wait a second, 1 second, let's read the Chelkas Yov again. And he says the following. Elamavur, this is towards the end of that paragraph, let's go over it one more time. She'im bitel es hadloka b'mezid zokikla. Again, the Chelkas Yov belongs to the camp of the Rashba Prima Gadim Shulchan Aruch, that it depends upon whether it was Mezid or Shogeg, because even if your Adlok never reached fruition, there has to be a human intervention to Mezid to undermine your Adlok, and here it was done with Mezid. Again, who actually did this Mezid? It would seem Bepashtus that it was other people, not yourself. Tzarech lachzor lahad lekevan shehemshichu. What does it mean, himshichu? He's using which grammatical, I forgot the word for it in English. Anyway, he's using a third person. What's that called?
Indirect?
No, a grammatical something or other. What?
Proxy.
Yeah. Anyway, he's using the third person. Shem shichu vidliku. They put it out. Meaning, they lit it, and therefore they put it out. B'mezid. So again, on the one hand, he's being tremendously machmir that your candle is undermined by his action, but number two, he's being makil, and he's saying that's only because the other action was done b'mezid. It's called apsil shebekarbonasis kimedurish vitzarech lachzor ulad lik. The omnom, look at this. Rabbi Eliezer Moshe Horovitz, that's the Pinsker Abezdin, Hamid as Dibriya Gemara, he says, you misunderstood the Gemara. They were all madlik bevasachas. There's no right and no justification for you coming along and undermining my ner and generating a hafkas kiyum ner Hanukkah, forcing me to relight the candle because you decided to do so. Ella, but rather, what's the case? All together, bevasachas, as a group effort, Hidliku biyachad, kulam hidliku bivas achas. Hidliku bezecher zeh harishon vada yotzi lechovos mishum shekov sein zokiklo. However, if they all did it together, you see, you wonder, according to Rav Horovitz, what's the chiddush of the Gemara? I mean, basically, they all the chiddush of the Gemara is just that it's a madora. I mean, that's the only chiddush we can get. And a madora is antithetical to a ner. But other than that, there's really no chiddush over here.
But how does he define it, Madura, then? Because they all lit their psilos right next to his psilo?
Right, and they all join into one flame, and therefore there was never a second when you had an air.
But what happened is he lit his, and they lit theirs simultaneously, but on the other side of the plate.
I don't know. You have to know all the details of the sugya. You know, we get Daf Chav Gimel, which will probably be, I don't know when, at the rate we're going. It may take a while, but I'm hoping to do this all within a month.
No, you have to do Chav Gimel before next week.
Well, what happens next week? You're going away?
You're doing this Siyam, and I have
to... You took Ner Hanukkah? You no good. I wanted to take the sugya Ner Hanukkah. I guess it's called a Kodem Zohar.
You can be like Habrusa.
Yeah.
So those petzilos need to be very, very close together.
Right.
You know what I would
say? I don't know the physics of it. It could be, it doesn't have to be so close because it depends on, you know, how much oil and how thick the wicks are and how large the flame is. But at some point, all these flames gather together. And that becomes, you know, in Hilchus Avdolah, that's great for the good news for the Jews. But in Hilchus Nechadik, it's antithetical. And then the Chiddush of the Gemara is just this entity called Madura. But there's nothing here about undermining someone's Ner Chanukah. Now, in the next...
Rav said the flames do not have to touch for Madura.
Oh, okay. So in the next paragraph, he quotes somebody called Diskin. Now, I'm familiar with Rav Yeshua Leib Diskin. Does anybody... Can anybody tell me who the Gaon Rav Shin Mem Diskin is? I'm feeling he's a contemporary. I don't know, I just... Diskin, yeah, his name is Gimel. Gimel is a Gaon, that's for sure. And the Reish is a Rabbeinu, but I don't know what the Shin Mem is. Hagon Rabbeinu Ashita Mekubetza Es Mi Diskin. No, I'm just kidding. So he says the fire. There's a Gemara that says if you have to choose between a Ner Shabbos and a Ner Chanukah, which should you choose? Okay, so the question that he asks is, why can't he just light a Ner Chanukah and then put it out and then rekindle the same exact Ner as a Ner Shabbos? Because we paskin Kovsa Ein Zakakla. Says the Gaon, the Shita Mekubetz from Diskin, that we see from this that if there's a human intervention, again, this is Mamish, his action that's premeditated, bimazin, to put out the Ner, that undermines his Ner Chanukah. But the brilliance of his diuk, you know, why not just solve your problem? And if you know, you could ask this question in general, forget about Ner Shabbos. Let's say an ani, a person who's a very poor person. All he needs is one candle for all 8 days. Because Kavsa ain't Zakakla. So you stretch out one candle, again, the tells us in Cleveland are not going to be happy about this, right? But you light one candle, the same exact candle, for 8 days. I mean, that's really cool. It's almost like Mamas reproducing the original miracle that happened at the time of the Beis HaMikdash.
Shimon Moshe Diskin.
Shimon Moshe. Okay, now we have a name.
He was one of the Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshivas Kol Torah.
Oh, is he still alive?
I don't know when this article was written. Mm-hmm. This was written in 1957-59, 1999. So
that's what, about 19 years ago, something.
Oh, like that? He passed away. He passed away on the 16th of Tammuz in that year.
Okay, I'm very sad. Although I never heard of him, but
he lived 67 years.
Hoping he was still alive, so that now we can give him a yashikaya. So anyway, Sfasav Domos Vakemer.
His father was a Rav Yehoshua Zelig Diskin.
Okay, now that's two people we don't know
who it was. Well, anyway, I'll send this to you, Rabbi.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Would it be possible to say that Kavsa refers to the Ner itself and not to an external intervention? That Kavta means that it went out, not that you put it out.
Right. Excellent. You're right, 100%. There's no question about it. But conceptually, you know, in terms of interpreting the words, I think you're saying a brilliant idea that it's Kavsa, it's Memela, but not with a human Kuvase action.
You did it to Kifta.
So I would say the following, Rabosai. One part of this puzzle I think maybe I could solve. Just one, at least, element of in the equation. And that's what Sam was referring to, I think, before. Tell me if this is what you were saying, Sam. If there was a deliberate action of a person premeditated to put out the candle, or even if he is in cahoots with others, and we're going to do this together and create some sort of joint kibui of a Madora, then we would say that even if there's no condition, as we spoke about before in Isha Mishum Chitzav of a Tnai, that undermines the very essential Maisad look. Now again, what bothers my mind about this is, and that's why I say it's only one piece of the puzzle, is he may have, you know, gotten a shchora ra, you know, all of a sudden after he lit the candle, he decided he wants to put it out. To say that that's inherent in his action, so what we're going to have to say is, and this is a pella, you remember the case where he throws a cleave mirosh hagad, right? Baba Kama Yitzayim. So what would be, this is called in the Gemara's language in Gittin, gito what's it called? Gito v'shichaso
b'yado.
What that means is that if I have the potential of pulling back my action, then I have to agree that that action reached its fruition. Meaning, I'm holding kofsa, aim zaka klah. That means that if I do adlaka and I leave, you know, I leave nature to take its course and destiny will play itself out, I was yotzei my mitzvah. But if I added, and every single adlaka has this built-in addition, I added a mashicha biyado, which means that I can pull it back, because I have the ability to blow it out, or I can ask you to blow it out on my behalf, then Mashicha Biyado means that he never really did a full-fledged Maisad look. We're still left with the following question. Number one, can somebody else undermine my Adlaka? And number two, would it be that we can justify the Rashba, etc., the distinction between Shogeg and Mason?
I meant it much more balabatish, which is basically, if you intend for this not to burn, then it's not a burning. Not that you have the capability. You always have the capability. Everybody has the capability to blow out his candle afterwards.
So but why would the intention, so I understand balabatish, but conceptually,
right, because why? That's why I thought I cheated later. It's along the lines of that it's likely it's going to go out by a guy, by a shegit, by a wind, or by you. You're a maniac. So in other words, this candle is not going to burn. You know it's not going to burn because the wind is going to put it out, or you're going to put it out. So it's destiny.
More like
not...
I asked yesterday.
Oh, you mean you decided from the get-go
that's
that you're going to put it
that's
out?
That's right. Because otherwise, everybody can decide to light it.
Like you put it out, you have to put a cover over it so it doesn't have enough oxygen.
But why, Sam,
why'd you light it
in the literature that we're seeing?
Because he wants to light for 8 days. Poor man.
In all the Makoros, is there any indication that he, when he lit the candle, had a
deliberate? No, there isn't. No, there isn't. You have to inject that.
So that's all I want to say.
Mazed means mazed right at the start.
Okay, so here's the possibilities. There are two possibilities of how to navigate this through this, you know, this very sticky, complicated sugi. One way is to go with Sam, that if there's a possibility of Kovsa Zakikla, even according to the Mandiyom, Kovsa Ain Zakikla, it's got to be because already at the time of that luck, he had an intention to put it out. That in a sense is antithetical to that luck itself, and it's inherent in the hadlaka. That would be like Yechiel's point yesterday about less than a shear. If it's less than a shear of oil, already in the hadlaka, in the nair itself, there's no mice hadlaka.
As mediated by the notion that you know it's not going to burn.
Okay.
Yes,
the other approach, I think, is more valid from the perspective of the Makaris that we're seeing, is that you have the ability to put out the nair.
You always do.
Always. You always have the ability to put out the nair. That's equivalent to Meshicha Biyado. That equips you with the power to undermine the nair. And if you decide to utilize that ability, then we know that from the get-go, you were not interested in an air dolok. If you aren't interested in an air dolok, then that's considered like you lit the nair with less than a shear, or maybe according to one habavit in the chayodim, you lit it in a place of ruach mitzuya. But now let's talk about the difference between shogeg and mazen, which is so fundamental here in the Rashba, and those who follow in the footsteps of the Rashba. Again, you could always argue, like Sam might argue, that maybe Mazid in the Rashba would mean that that was his intention from the get-go. But if you assume not like that, but he put it out the Mazid, then I'm just wondering if this touches on the very famous machlokes between Rabbi Kivager and Rabbi Chaim Brisker about what's the status of shogeg. We know, for example, that a shogeg is potter from ownership. So Rabbi Kivager understood, because the Torah doesn't consider that an avera. And Rabbi Chaim held no, that this is considered an avera, just as a p'tur onshin, that sometimes the Torah suspends onshin because your avera was not adot, it was not 100%.
You need a karma.
Oh, so Rabbi Chaim brought various proofs that shogeg is considered a mice avera. Then Rabbi Kivager is quoted as saying that even if I grant you that shogeg is a maisavera, but onus is not a maisavera. And here's where Rabbi Chaim agreed 1,000% to Rabbi Kivager.
And therein lies the difference between shogeg and onis. And Reb Chaim's proof was from the pasuk of la naro lo sas hadavar. Not the way Rabbi Kiveger understood the la naro lo sas hadavar means that we're going to look the other way and we're going to alleviate punishment, but la naro lo sas hadavar because she didn't do anything, because she wasn't involved in a maisav there. So Reb Chaim was of the opinion that an onis completely nullifies the halachic status, the chaloshem of a maisav there. By the way, Reb Chaim and Reb Kiveger were at loggerheads on other issues in the same kind of vein, in the same vein. What's the status of an aver of a katan? So Reb Kiveger held that a maisav katan is not considered a maisav aver at all. And Reb Chaim held main, a maisav aver it is. And he had a beautiful proof from what's called Shivcha Harufa, where if he's Baal Shivcha Harufa and he's a Ben Tes, which means he's Roy Labia, Shivcha Harufa is a Chatzia Shivcha Chatzia Makar, he has to bring a Karban. And Reb Chaim says, how can you bring a Karban if there's no Maisav there? And then there was a Machlok stream, Reb Kiveger and Reb Chaim, about Mesasek. Rabbi Kiveger understood the Misasik is a Maisav Ver with a Petura Onshin, and Rabbi Chaim said, nay, the Misasik is not considered a Maisav Ver at all, and therefore you're not Chayev even a Karban. So perhaps we could apply some of those issues here to our Rashba, that there's a distinction between Shogeg and Mase. It works like this. Do I recognize the Maisad Loka as such? And it depends. If I'm coming with another Maisa to undermine the first Maisa, then we have one Maisa against the other Maisa. And that's a stalemate of sorts. That's like a teiku. And at that point, we don't know what to do. We don't know whether to validate your Maisa or not. But if what happens is a situation arises where the candle goes out, but not through a Maisa, then it's like the elements put out the candle, and then we go with the opinion of Kavsa Ein Zokikla. Here's where the Rashi makes a distinction between the following two scenarios. If he himself decides to put out the candle, and it's a full-fledged decision, I'm not going as far as Sam to say that that's what his intention was from the get-go when he did that Loka, then he's setting up a Maisa. And that Maisa now stands as a conflict, as a, what word do I want to use, as antithetical to the original Maisa Hadlaka. Because you have one Maisa that's coming to undermine the Hadlaka, and you have the original Maisa that's coming to create a Hadlaka. In such a case, what do you say? Then we're going to say Kofsa Zokikla, even though we hold Kofsa Ein Zokikla. Why? Because in Kofsa Ein Zokikla, we're saying at least we can recognize the Maisa Hadlaka. Now when there's another Maisa that's coming to undermine the original Maisa, then we're stuck in this this Hegelian thesis, antithesis, and we leave it that there's no Maisa Hadlaka. But in the case of Shogeg, that's not considered a Maisa of Kibui, even though again, as we said before, a shogeg normally would be chayav a karban, but here a shogeg would not be chayav a karban. Does anybody know why? What's that called? If you know even the first thing about hilchos shogegs, that's called oseg b'maisa mitzvah. There's one exception to the rule of shogeg, and that is oseg b'maisa mitzvah, meaning if I am involved in what I think is a mitzvah, and inadvertently I do an avera, the Gemara has this like with the case of two tinokos. One of them needs a meal on Shabbos, the other needs a meal on Sunday, and he accidentally switched the tinokos, he's not chayav a karban for that, even though he violates a malacha d'oraisa of netilas neshama, because there's no heter, it's a Sunday bris, and he did the bris on Shabbos, and the Gemara establishes, increases you test that. That's called osek b'maisa mitzvah. That always was
b'maisa mitzvah. What he thinks is a mitzvah.
Correct. That because and that's interesting.
By kafsa, if it ain't zokikla, it's not a mitzvah.
What happens to that poor baby?
Oh, so why do I say it's a mitzvah, Sam? What word in the Rashba gives away the secret that he's being osek b'mitzvah? There's one word in the Rashba that I want to bold. Take a look. Look at the Rashba, the Ran quoting the Rashba. He says, Achar shehilik is haner. What's the next two words?
Bolasakno.
Again, like you said, Sam, it might not be a mitzvah. But in his mind, what we call phenomenologically, it is a maisa mitzvah. From the perspective of his consciousness, he's involved in a mitzvah. Just like the case of the Moel, who thinks that this baby is a Shabbos
priest. What is there in the tikkun in there? I'm looking there as a mitzvah. What in there is there in the tikkun in there?
So that's what Rashi says, litakno, meaning that I want the ner to be a beautiful ner. Even though that reflects the sheet of that kofsa zakakla, but nevertheless, kofsa zakakla is also a kiyum. How do I know this? Because the Rashba says that even if Kovsa ain't Zokikla, he should be encouraged to relight the Nair in order to enhance and expand the Pirsumanes. So he is involved, at least technically in terms of his conscious mind, in a Maisa Mitzvah. But the classical Shogeg, if for one reason or another he's playing with the Nair, you know, maybe he wants to see if he can somehow, you know, reduce the consumption of the oil because he needs the oil for another day, and inadvertently he puts out the candle, that would be a classical Shogeg, for which we would say it creates a Maisa, and the Maisa is a Maisa Kibui, and that Maisa Kibui is antithetical to the Maisa Adloka, and then we end up without Teku, and therefore we cannot validate his hadlok. So again, what do we understand and what do we not understand? We're suggesting the following, that although kofsa ein zokik lo, I can validate the maisa hadlok even according to this mandir, even if it never reaches its fruition, but that's only if I have nothing antithetical to the maisa hadlok. What are the possibilities of setting up antithetical maisa hadlok? Number one, if he lights it according to the one side of the chayodom in a place that's ruach mitzuya. Number two, if he lights with less than a shear. Number three, if he does a maisa that undermines his original maisa hadlok. And here we have machlokas. Which kind of maisa would undermine the original maisa hadlok? One school of thought says a mezid. If he has a mezid, that maisa hadlok undermines the original maisa. That's like the case where he throws a cleaf on the top of the roof, or he places a pot on the fire, and then he catches the, or he puts a barrier, or he takes the kedera. There's an action that posits itself against the first action, and that stira, that collision is going to leave us in a very uncomfortable situation where we don't know whether we can validate his original maisa, or should we say that his last maisa undermines his original maisa. Now we have an issue. What happens if inadvertently he sets up a kibui? So you might say, on the one hand, if he inadvertently does it, it's like the case where kofsa ruach. You know, he didn't anticipate a ruach would come, and therefore there's no maisa that undermines it. So here we have a machlokas. One shita says that when does he have a maisa kibui that undermines the original maisa hadlok? That's only in the case of mezid. The other shita says that even in the case of shogeg, it's a human maisa, and shogeg is recognized halachically as a maisa. He has a maisa kibui that undermines his maisa hadlok. The Rashba comes up with, I think, a kind of a pshara, a compromise. And that is, it depends. If he's being metakin the nair and tok kedei tikun b'shgog and inadvertently puts out the nair, that's not called a maisa as far as kibui is concerned. Because on the contrary, what is his intention? Everything but kibui, right? He wants to be metakin the nair. And he thinks in his mind that's the greatest mitzvah that he can fulfill at this point. But if, on the other hand, he was a classical shogeg, meaning he wasn't interested in being metaken, he had vested interest in trying to play around with the candle, and then inadvertently put it out, that already sets up a maisa which is antithetical. Now we jump up to the sugya on Daf Chaf Gimel. So we have two parts to the sugya on Daf Chaf Gimel. One part is the case where you have one candle, and you cannot use it for both Shabbos and Chanukah. So we have a Rosh Hashiva in Kol Torah by the name of Rav Shimon Moshe Diskin, and he asks the following question. Since we paskin kofsa ein zokikla, why not just allow him to put out the candle? And the answer is, if he puts out the candle, then kofsa zokikla, because then he's setting up a deliberate maisa that undermines his original maisa hadlok. Now we have another sugya on Daf Chaf Gimel, where many people are lighting in the same kli, and that's called a madora. So the question is, what about Reuven when he lit his candle? Shouldn't we consider the other madlikim as a ruach, and therefore at least Reuven, the first guy to light his wick, should have been yotze. This question bothers the mind of Rav Horowitz to such an extent that the Pinsker Rosh Hashiva says that it was never there to begin with. They all lit simultaneously. It was a madura from the get-go.
He knew they were going to light.
It's irrelevant. Why? Again, in Metzius, you're right, they did it in cahoots, but it's irrelevant. Let's say, you know, he didn't know, he wasn't in on it, so he, you know, innocently lit his candle, but at the same moment, again, emphasizing the two words of Vasachas in Rav Horowitz, they all lit together and created a Madura that was never in there. Again, we're left a little bit dissatisfied with that, because then what's the Chiddush of the Sukkah?
But they don't need to, they don't even need to light the same thing. Because if he knew that they're going to light, then it's as if
he doesn't operate with that. He doesn't operate with that assumption because
he could have put that tilus up.
Well, Adarava, his assumption is that if, let's say, I set you up to light a candle that will undermine my candle, that's already not my maisa. The only one who's the malabas to.
So you can't put out your candle. If I'm going to put out your candle, you know I'm going to put out your candle.
According to Rav Horowitz, that's fine. That's kavsa ein zochus.
It's like in a ruach mitzuyah.
Well, in the case of ruach mitzuyah, that's not a maisa blocker because the nair never had the potential in and of itself of lasting. But here, the potential in the nair is inherent to last for a nair doluk. Now somebody comes along, even if I commission him, he put out the nair. It's not my maisa, and if it's not my maisa, it doesn't undermine. Comes along the Chelkas Yoav, and he says, Baba Maisa, what's he talking about? The Sugi is not talking about where they all lit simultaneously. They lit Bazachar Zeh. Oh. So comes along the Chelkas Yoav, and he says that even though Bishas Hadloka Isa Hadloka Ru'uya, he says that this is considered Bitol Hadloka B'mezit V'tzarech Lachzer U'lahadla. Just 1 second. He wants to invoke the Sfara of B'mezid here. It's even though... Does he say they were all working in cahoots? Reuven was very well aware of what's going to happen afterwards. And that's called Mezid.
There's enough oil for all of them. They're not just adding psilos to there and sucking off his oil.
Right, there's plenty of oil, there's plenty of psilos, and by lighting them all, it's going to create a madura. So it never lasted as an air dolk. So you ask, why is that any different than the wind? And the answer is, he said, b'mezid hidlikum. So this is what Sam, I think, was saying before, b'mezid hidlikum. Okay. Now, Rabosa, if you want to give out these pages, we'll be ready for the next piece of Gemara here.
It's 3 pages each.
How many?
I think it's 3 each.
Every set like has 3 pages to it? Okay, let's just see. Reish Ayin, just if I can. Reish Ayin Vav. Where am I? Reish Ayin Zayin and Reish Ayin Ches and Reish Ayin Tes. Okay. So I guess everyone take 2 pages? Is that what we want to do?
What are you talking about? Which pages are
for you? Here are the pages that are coming around.
Hare Kedem.
It's called Hare Kedem, and you should see on the top right, Reish Ayin Ayin. Okay, Rebels. Tana Rabban. Right, we're on Daf Chaf Aleph on the Beis, 1 line above Tosis Mahadrin. Mitzvahs Chanukah, Ner Ish Ubeisa. Vamahadrin, Ner Lechol Echod Vi Echod. Vamahadrin, Mina Mahadrin, Beit Shama Yomrim Yom Rishon Madlik Achas, Bikan Vielich Mosif Aholik.
He's good to Beis Hill.
Yeah. I'm reading from the Hare Kedem, so I skip Beis Hillel. For some reason, he skips Beis Hillel. I don't know. Okay, Beis Hillel Omrim Yom Rishon Madlik Achas, and Beit Shammai Omrim Yom Rishon Madlik Shmon. Correct? Okay. Says Tosfos, Nirul Uri,
to Beit Shammai u'Beis Hillel lo kaimi ela aner ish u'beisam. So according to the Ri, in the context of Mahajra, Mahajra was skipping the middle step, which is called Mahajra. We're going back to the first level, which is called Ner Ishu Beso. So if I have one candle on the first night, I light that one candle. On the next night, if I want to be Mekayim the Mahajrin, and there are five people in the household, how many candles am I going to light according to the Ri? Two candles. Why? Because it's Kaya Aner Ishu Beso. I will not light five candles. And we're going to try to analyze why not. In other words, we're completely cutting out the middle stage called Mahajrin. And Beis Hillel and Beit Shammai, again, Marikid Islay, are completely omitting the Mahajrin, which means that if you want to be Mahajrin, it's a mitzvah, we're going to instruct you to jump over to, you know, it's like checkers, you know, you're going to skip over the Mahajrin and go straight to the Mahajrin, Minah Mahajrin. So on the second night, let's say according to Beis Shammai, it'll light seven candles. According to Beis Hillel, it'll light two candles. And it doesn't reflect at all the number of people that share the house. Why is that so? What's the svar of the Ri that when we fulfill the Mahajrin and Mahajrin, we have to completely cut out the Mahajrin? He says the following. He says, Shken yesh yoser hidur, this would enhance his hidur, when he cuts out the Mahajrin, meaning he's not going to light, let's say if there are five people in the house on the second night, he's not going to light 10 candles. He's only going to light two candles like Beis Hillel, or seven candles like Beit Shammai, but he's not going to reflect the number of people in the household. Why? The Ike HaKerik Shemosif HaHolech, again, this is Beis Hillel, O Mechaser, which is Beit Shammai, is Keneged Yomim HaNechnosim HaYotzi. Ahol Im Ose Ner L'chol Echad, if he's going to be Mekayim the Mahajrin, so it means on the second night, since he has five people in his household, he's going to light 10 candles, meaning he's going to light five candles for the Mahajrin, and then double that number in order to fulfill the Mahajrin, Minah Mahajrin. He says, Afilu Yosef Mikan V'Elech Leka HaKera. Yosef means according to Beis Hillel, he's going to add the number of candles. She Yizbru Shekach Yesh B'nei Adam B'Bayis. And once he picks up the Mahajrin, the onlooker, the spectator, gets the mistaken impression that the number of candles has nothing to do with the Yomim HaNechnasim, but rather they reflect the B'nei B'Bayis.
So they're next to each other.
Right. He doesn't have, you know, our Chanukiyot here, there, and elsewhere, you know, where you could clearly see that this is one adlock of one member of the household and this another. But rather, we're lighting all these candles, one person together in one place. And now, on the second night, the man sees 10 candles. He doesn't know that this is connected Yom HaNechnasim, but he's just multiplying the five members of the household by two. He thinks that there are 10 members of the house.
A technical question. We're talking about an observer who observes the first night and then the second night.
That's going to be the
big because
question.
Otherwise, you come one night, you see six candles. You have no idea whether it's the sixth night, or it's the first night and six people, or it's the second night and three people. Right. So, how does that
depend? The Ri seems to assume that there's no progress here, meaning there's no progression in the sense that the same person is passing by on one day and on the next day. But then you can ask yourself the following question, if it's not the same guy, you know, let's say Reuven passed by on the first night, and Shimon, but basically what the Ri is saying is that inherent in the number, if you want to be Mekayim Mahajrin, Minah Mahajrin, inherent in the number of candles has to reflect the number of days. As soon as you multiply that number, you've already undermined the ability for that candle to represent the number of days. So I'm skirting your question now, Sam. And let's forget about who the onlooker is and whether every night there's a different guy and he's confused because, you know, he saw on the first night you lit five candles and the second night you lit 10 candles.
And his assumption is that more people joined the family.
Five yeshiva guys came home from the dormitory, you know, because they had to be there for the first day of Chanukah. Maybe they have to come back to the yeshiva for the last day of Chanukah, but they let him out for the middle days of Chanukah. He doesn't know. He's very confused. So all this is irrelevant. Forget about the onlooker. We want to know the Hekera in the Ner. You know, what's inherent in the Ner. If
the halacha was X number of neros, which represent the yomim hanichnasim, that's already mahajir nahash. But if that number X that he's lighting is a combination of ner l'chol echad v'yechad, the number of people in the house, plus ner l'yomim hanichnasim l'yomim hayotzim, you end up with a number that completely undermines the mahajir min mahajir. Now, in that case, so what should you do? You know, the fellow comes to the Rav and he says, Rebbe, what should I like? You know, on the one hand, I want to be Mekayim Mahajrin. On the other hand, I want to be Mekayim Mahajrin Min Mahajrin. I'm a very wealthy guy. I got lots of candles. What should I do? So the impression you get from the Re is that Mahajrin Min Mahajrin is even... If you come in here, I want a hug. I don't care. I need a hug. It's a... Mazel Tov, you came to say that in the bris.
How you do?
Great. Tomorrow's outside, so I'll wait outside.
Oh, okay, good. That's the main job, is to spend some time with Tamar.
Okay, good. His daughter's here in seminary for the year.
So that you know, in this choice situation, there's a yoser. The word yoser, again, I don't know what the re means by yoser. I may be misunderstanding the re, but I'm going to take the re in this vein. That yoser, you add to that kera by reflecting the yomim anichnas yom hayotzim, even if it means at the expense of dropping the ner ish ubeso. And we're going to skip, and we can go from, I'm sorry, what I meant to say is, even at the expense of skipping ner l'chol echad v'yechad, so we're going to go straight from ner ish ubeso up to the mahadrin min mahadrin, completely sideswiping and omitting the mahadrin. And why is that? Because we can't have both of them. So now, what I want you to do, if you flip the Hare Kedem to page Resh Ayin Zayin, which is the second side of your first page. Resh Ayin Ches, okay, because our time is limited, we don't have to repeat everything that we said. But Ulam, he says, take a look at the Rambam. The Rambam says in Hilchas Chanukah, maybe somebody would be kind enough to open up the Rambam. He says it's Perek Dalet Halacha Aleph. Interesting. Oh, yeah, because keep in mind that the Rambam starts Hilchas Chanukah in Perek Gimel. Why does he start Hilchas Chanukah in Perek Gimel? Because Megillah comes first. So he has Hilchas Megillah and Chanukah. So Megillah has two chapters and Chanukah has two chapters. So at the beginning of the fourth chapter, the Rambam writes the following. HaMahadir Es HaMitzvah Madlik Neros Kiminyon Anshei HaBayis Ner L'chol Echad V'Echad Bein HaNoshim U'Bein Noshim V'HaMahadir Yeser Al Zeh. There is Gara from a Yid, right? He's a Mahadrin min a Mahadrin. You know, he only eats a certain Shechita, right? The Yosef Mitzvah min a Muvchar, that's an interesting phrase, Mitzvah min a Muvchar. Is Madlik Ner L'chol Echad V'Echad for Laila Rishon Mosif Aholech B'chol Laila V'Laila Ner Echad. The Rambam, as opposed to the Re, that's from Soloveitchik's Diuk, and we're going to see it in the poskim, is going to accept ner l'chol echad v'yechad even for the mahadir yeser, meaning even for the one who wants to achieve the mahadir min mahadrin. To sfirle the mahadir min mahadrin osim gam es hamahadrin. So on the one hand, he's mosif kineged ha'anshei bayis, meaning for kol echad v'yechad, and at the same time, he's going to be mosif kineged ha'yomim ha'yotzim. And now, if we have both, Yikshe Kushas Hatosvis, Imkein Leka Akeiro, Leminyan Ayomim, Shahroim Yomru, Sheesh Harbe Anoshim, Vibayas Kiminyan Aneros. Now, again, you could always answer a very technical Balabatisha answer and say that the Rambam's not interested in Akeiro. The Rambam's interested in what I know. You know, if I know that I've added X number of candles, so for example, on the second night, I'm going to light 10 candles. And, well, let's say on the first, let's have 10 people in my house. So on the first night, I'm going to light 10 candles, and the second night, I'm going to light 20 candles. So I know that I've added another 10 candles, jacking them up from 10 to 20, because I want to be Mekayim Mahajim Min Mahajim. No one else has to know that. That's one way of learning. But he quotes the Bir Agro. By the way, the Rambam actually spells out the number of candles. Ketzad, he writes. This I don't know why he left it out in Hari Ketzad. Hareshayu Anshei Havayis Asara is Bilel Rishon Madlik Asara Ner is Bilel Sheni Esrim Bilel Shlishi Shloshim Achinim Samadlik Bilel Shmini Shmonim Neirus. You know, the Rambam is a great pedagogue. I don't know why he had to go through all these different scenarios, but the Rambam basically wants you to understand very well what he's telling you. It's almost as if he had the Re in the back of his mind, and he's coming Lafuki the Re. You are going to light on the last day 80 candles. But that, you know, you have to have a lot of money in the bank for 80 candles. So again, Tells is going to be very happy. I don't know how many candles there in the Tells a thing.
I don't know. 44.
44. Okay, 44. So how many members of the household are there? Ah, that's only for one.
You need a box per person.
Oh, that's really a great deal. Okay, fine.
So isn't some of this taken care of by the fact that we light?
Yeah. We mentioned that. You missed that point, Phil. That's what we said before, that we light separate chakinot. But again, the Rambam has only one madlik. You see, the Rambam says the following: Kamaneros hu madlik. The emphasis is on the madlik, and then he says mitzvasa sheyehe l'chol bayis u'bayis. Madlik Nerechon, again the Madlik. Mahader San Mitzvah, listen carefully. Madlik Neros Kiminyan Anshe Abayis. This is not the Ashkenazic Minhag, because there are more codifices in Shulchan Aruch that everyone should light their own Neros. The Rambam doesn't say that. The Rambam has one person being Madlik. How many Neros? Kineged Kiminyan Anshe Abayis. So they're all part of one Adlaka. So then now we really have the following question according to the Rambam. How is it that there's no confusion here? How do we, you know, again, I don't know if there's a household that has 80 people, but certainly you can have a household that has 20 people, and on the second night he thinks that there are 20 people in the household. So the Gra comes up with an answer. Let's just, because we have to end for Mincha, you know, they're going to start yelling Mincha here. Let's just read one more paragraph, Zev, and that's the Bir HaGra. The Bir HaGra says the following: Dilar Rambam. Daramam Sfirli, the Taimo de Mahajim and Mahajit Shemosifim Kol Yom V'Yom. He's talking about Beis Hillel now. Eno Keneged Hayomim Hayotzim Ela Kamand Yomer Shehu Mishum Mailim V'Kodesh V'Lo Morid. Wow, look at that. The Gaon wants to go very far. The Gemara has two interpretations of Mahajim Mahajim Beis Hillel Beit Shammai. What are they arguing about? And in the second explanation, the Gemara offers the following suggestion. Some Rabbi Yossi, we don't know which Rabbi Yossi it is. And he says that according to Beit Shammai, we need Keneged Yomim HaNechdosim because of Parei Achak. And according to Beis Hillel, we need Keneged Yom HaYotzim because of Ma'ilim B'Kodesh V'lo Morim. The whole business of Mahadrin, Mida Mahadrin, at least in the Gaon's perspective, according to the second Lishna in the Gemara, has nothing to do with enhancing the Pirsum HaNes or the Hekera and go figure out what this is, what that is. It has to do with the Maisa Mitzvah. So the Rav is very upset with this interpretation of the Gaon. He says the following: the Isfir Leila Rambam, the Kaimel on Kaman Diyomah Dehu Mishum Demailam Bekodesh, on my cost of a Rambam Locha Beis, Dimhoyu Asara Bebayis, he has 10 people in the household, Malika Balel Sheni, Esrim Balel Shlishi Shlosh. To all a high time of Demailam Bekodesh, how much would it be necessary if you want to fulfill Beis Hillel's dictum to go from the first night to the second night, from the 10 candles in the first night to the second? To the second night. Does he need 20? No, he can just more. As long as he adds one. So let's assume there are always, you know, it's that, you know, there's no yeshiva bachim coming back home. So you have 10 people in the household. If that's the Rambam's mitzvah, then on the second night he should be lighting 11 candles. Why is he lighting 20 candles? Because the 10 candles reflect the Mahadrin, and the one extra candle will be enough for Ma'ilim B'Kodesh. It has nothing to do with the Yom HaNechnasim Yom HaYotzim. Obviously, the Rambam is operating with the first understanding of Beis Hillel, that we have to reflect the days. The Lahai time of the Ma'ilim B'Kodesh, Sagi Vamesha Madlik Belel Sheni, Yoser Neros Bilel Rishon Vishlish Yoser Vashani. Ela mispar meduyok shel yud neros bechol yom, and as we need the yud neros for the mahadrin, and now we have to add candles. Ela demavur baram dekaimel kaman yomer shu keneged yomim
hayotzim, like the first understanding of Beis Hillel. Now we need 20 candles on the second night. Why? Because we want to have each one of the Bnei Abayis fulfill, or vicariously fulfill the Mahadrin, Mina Mahadrin of Beis Hillel, and therefore we're going to have to multiply the number of candles by, well, let's say by 2 and by 3 and by 4. So we need both Mahadrin, and therefore we're going to need 80 candles. But if you're going to tell me that Beis Hillel is that the Rambam accepts Beis Hillel in the second interpretation, namely Maile B'Kodesh V'lo Moridin, then there's no reason why we have to double the number of candles. We just have to increase the number of candles.
Yeah, answer my question.
Oh, okay.
It just looks as if it was a stira, because on the second paragraph it says you seem to be adding only one there.
Okay.
What if not everybody in the household is following the same minhag?
Gee, that's a problem.
No,
both is going.
No, it's just,
you know, we want a healthy household.
It's not up to the household members. It's up to the main guy.
Well, according to the Rambam, there's only one Mahadrin. Yeah, so that might solve your problem. But Phil, you're going to have a problem if you're following the Ashkenazic minhag, and they're different minhagim. So imagine that you're lighting on the second night two candles, and he's lighting in the same house one candle.
Your kid comes home from yeshiva, and he says, "My Rebbe said X, and I'm a good father," and I said, "Go ahead and do it."
Very good.
What about
Mashal came near it, just one last paragraph, and then I'll let you go. Divaha Sfirale La Ramam the after Ner Chanukah Nikbal Yidea Roes Haneros Kidi Isa the Imhaya Tofus. If a man holds on to the candle, he's not Yotze because the Roa thinks Litzarko who the Ovid. Vatam Ishum Divina Bener Shenitan Lepirsum Anes Mikolokom Din Zer Shel Re'ia, that you have to be able to see in the candle the Pirsum Anes. Chal Gakal Etzem Aner Chanukah. The Rambam holds that there are two dinim over here. You have to, in the basic candle that you need for the mitzvah, you've got to have a kera. If you're standing and holding it, then litzarko kamachavin, he's not yotze. But once you fulfill that basic requirement, and you have already a ner that lends itself to pirsmanes, obviously he doesn't need this candle, then at that point, all he needs beyond that is the hidur b'chesh b'nei abayis, the hidur in yomim, and there's no chiv of pirsmanes. All we need for the roa is to see the ner. I think this is very similar to what I wanted to suggest before. Lo tzarech l'das, we don't have to analyze the psyche and the understanding of the roa. Eze yohu, does he know that he understands? He has to calculate the re-understood or kamanoshim yesh b'bayis, and then he gets confused by the number of neros. Is lazeaf hecha the leka akera, even if there's no akera keneged yomim ayotzim or keneged the anshei abayis, then yotzi dechavasi still fulfills the mahadrin and the mahadrin min mahadrin. The adarava shita satos was according to tos, everything depends upon akera, not just in the original ner, but in the mahadrin and the mahadrin min mahadrin. So again, just to summarize, and we'll stop here, I'll make a little note if you can where we're up to. According to the Shitas HaTosfos, the Mahadrin and the Mahadrin Min Mahadrin has to fulfill a din of Hekera so that the onlooker can understand. And if there's a confusion and a conflict, then you cannot possibly fulfill both the Mahadrin and the Mahadrin Min Mahadrin. It's an either or. I don't understand, according to the Ri, why would the Gemara bothers with Mahadrin? Maybe Mahadrin you could fill on the first night, I don't know. But basically, if Mahadrin Min Mahadrin, according to Tosfos, is the way to go, then it undermines Mahadrin. Then why did the Bryson bother with Mahadrin? That I don't understand. But anything, in any event, according to the Ri, everything boils down to Hekera. There's a contradiction in Hekera, and it's an either-or situation. The Rambam, on the other hand, holds that the halach of Hekera, that prerequisite, only applies to the original Ner. As far as the Neros of Mahajan and Mahajan Min Mahajan, that already reflects the Hidur of Keneged Anshei Bayis, Keneged the Yom Mayotz. It has nothing to do with that Keru. There's no din of Pirsmanes with regard to the Neros that are added for Mahajan or Mahajan Min Mahajan. Okay, there are both sides, so we'll stop here. And I wish everyone a great Shabbos. And thank you all for coming. And Lech Lecha should be on the way to the Oretz Asher Areka. And those who are thinking of settling here, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help you find your ultimate place here in Eretz Yisrael. Good. Thank you so much.
I got this scenario. Help.
Hey, happy.